Welcome to Chaos Theory on this wonderful Monday here on this May 13th. Hopefully everybody had a great Mother's Day. I paid for Mother's Day flowers to be delivered, not only for my wife and for my mother. I delivered them for them to be on Mother's Day, and neither order that I placed showed up on Mother's Day. So I'm still waiting for the flowers. I basically knocked almost everything out of the park. We woke up yesterday, one hell of a breakfast. My kid and I knocked it out of the park. And then we, you know, basically dedicate the entire day to my wife. Whatever she wants to do, we basically go get it for her. We cater to her. She gets in her mom aura, as she likes to say, and then the rest of the, I guess the rest of her court just plays to the queen or placates to the queen. But yeah, it's her day. It should be her day. You know what I mean? She does fantastic stuff. I'm sure you're the same way with Tracy. But yeah, like it is. From sun up to sundown, it's dedicated to my wife, and we end up going to get her favorite food at the end of the night too, which she hits me with the, hey, let's go get some Rudy's. And I'm like, are you serious? Of all things, you want to go get Rudy's? Let's go get Rudy's. So
yeah,
went out and captured Rudy's for last night for the dinner. Went out there and killed my dinner. No, I didn't. I just picked it up. But anyways, it was a fun time. Great weekend, man. Hopefully everybody else had a great weekend too.
Yeah, no, same here. I was, we're pretty easy with Mother's Day. I check in, there's usually about four or five people that I need to touch base with on the Mother's Day. One being, you know, my mom and one being, you know, my aunt that was a mom and just some other folks. So I feel bad like this weekend, Wax. So I was working in Houston on Saturday night with racing. By the way, you know what?
What time did you leave? Did you leave the Mullet Open?
I left the Mullet Open. Had to come back to Round Rock, and then I left Saturday morning to go to Houston. Okay. So, speaking of Houston, I got to tell you this, man. So on Saturday night at the Houston Racetrack, Houston Motorsports Park, 3/8 mile high banked oval, we did spectator races. Bring your family driver out and you get 3 laps on the track one-on-one against somebody else. You need to come to the next race and you can race. You need to race your car and you can get on the track.
How much does that cost?
It's free. It's free. You just sign up.
To me, that sounds like you got to pay like 10, maybe 15 bucks even up to $100 to get into.
No, it's free. You come on in, get out there and race and then hang out and watch the races. But, you know, so for me, it's Mother's Day doing all that. Here's the shitty part. So this year, I'm like, I ordered my wife's card from Amazon. It didn't show up on time. It showed up on Saturday when I was gone. So she had to get it, you know, from the doorstep and all that. So kind of along the lines of what you're saying right there, it's like I asked one thing. I need this shit on time on Friday evening so I can write stuff down.
Extra for it. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, man.
What the hell?
I tell you, man.
They'll show up today. Watch. My mom will call me here in a couple minutes. Oh, I got my flowers, Grandpa. Mom, I paid extra for Mother's Day delivery and it didn't happen. No, of course, I procrastinated and waited till Friday to order the flowers. But still, nonetheless, if you pay the extra fee for the delivery date, and it's guaranteeing you. Actually, my wife said, did you see if there was any small fine print or anywhere around? Because it probably says that they can't guarantee that it actually shows up on that day. It's probably just like a little small fine print thing that excludes, you know, an accident or an anomaly if it gets outside of the Mother's Day window or whatnot.
Yeah.
I hit the fine print on both of them, Rodney. That's what happened.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I mean, you would think, I mean, I don't know, but you would think that if you're going to pay for extra freight or extra shipping or extra whatever the hell it is, depending on what product you're buying, that those should kind of take precedence over everything else.
I would think so, yes.
That's going to be the shit that's going to get there first. I mean,
I would think so.
Hey, look who's checking in. Cakes Rock. How about
that? Hey, Christy.
You know, we don't want to be slamming anybody, but...
Usually up there mulling in.
Yeah, absolutely. So it seems like we're getting everything on the YouTube chat line is about all the shit that's overpriced, which is most things these days. So I don't know. I do have to tell you a good story on Friday night. So we were doing the Taco Bell thing. You know, we talk about Taco Bell with BK all the time. So I go in.
Wait. You were doing a challenge?
No. The wife and I were just, long day. So we're like, let's just have some Taco Bell. So I go, we have our order. I go.
I love that. Just we have a long day. Let's settle down with some Taco Bell.
Yeah, it's just like Taco Bell. She's going to be late at work. I'm over here doing different things. Got to get ready for Saturday. So I go over there and they forget half the order. They forget half of what we bought. And so I drive back. And they're like, you know what? We're going to give you some extras for your inconvenience.
Wound up with
two extra bean burritos, an extra crispy taco. That shit's in the fridge. That's lunch, man.
They didn't tell you that they were doing that. That's
Taco Bell round
treat, right?
They told
didn't
me.
Say, hey, Rodney, you're such a swell dude. Tracy, you're just great.
They don't know who the hell we are. They just said, we're putting some extra in there for your inconvenience. We hope you enjoy it. And I'm like, I damn sure will. I didn't know what it was. I thought it might be them cinnamon crispy things. But no, it was like.
Oh, yeah. What is the number one item at. What's the one item at Taco Bell that you could just get rid of that doesn't need to be on the item? One, I would argue that the cinnamon twists are one of those items. They can go.
Yeah. I've never understood that. I mean, I know a lot of people, and that's the funny thing about it. I mean, I think it's just the world today. A lot of people always bitched about the Mexican pizza. They take it off the menu and everybody's like, where the fuck is a Mexican pizza? I'm like, wait a
minute. One of the best things on the menu, probably my wife probably got that one of the most. That and the quesadilla, of course. But also the grilled stuffed burrito. You replaced it with the grilled cheese burrito, which is fine. It's decent, but nothing beats that grilled stuffed burrito. It was the sauce. The sauce that went inside that burrito was fantastic as well.
Yeah, that's the whole thing right there. And LB, I agree, for $19 for a double burger, onion rings, and shake.
Where's that at? That's ridiculous.
Yeah, where's that at, Longhorn?
$19 for one meal?
Yeah, that's just for like his three things, the burger, fries, and shake. That's a lot. That's a lot.
$20 for one meal. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's a lot. The double decker. Yeah, well.
Five guys. Bucks. That's at Five Guys?
Mm.
There's no, or Mighty Fine. I guess Five Guys, if I had to pick one, I'd probably go to Mighty Fine, honestly.
Me too.
I don't know, like Five Guys, I think Five Guys fries is fantastic, but I'm not paying.
No.
What, $19 for Jenna Jameson? I'm just not.
No. See, that's why I go to my man Perry over at Good Stock, and I get those butcher burgers. I mean, hell of a lot less than what you're going to pay right there. I come home, cook that shit myself. Money saved, gut full. Happy man. Happy double R.
We got to take a poll on the best burger joint in Austin. I would say, I would argue that it's Hayes City, but is Hayes City Austin proper? Like you can give it like Austin, the Austin area, but Hayes City's like Kyle and Buna,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You got to travel one hell of a bit to get, and it's worth every minute of that journey to go get a bacon jam burger from Travis and Hayes City store. But if I'm not traveling all the way down there, where is the best damn burger? Is it Dan's?
Dan's.
You really can't miss with Dan's. Like I feel like no. If you pull up on Dan's and you get a double bacon cheeseburger, you're gonna be satisfied.
You're a winner.
It's gonna be fantastic. It's one of the best burgers. What else? Highland Lanes. Highland Lanes just shut down. They had one hell of a burger. The Walter. The Walter was fantastic.
You go to Dirty's. I mean, Dirty's is still hanging around. I mean, Dirty Martin's.
I've never been to Dirty Martin's.
Oh.
And I was on the drag for a while, man. I was went to school and graduated from UT, so I was down there quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Freddy's Burgers. That we got a Freddy's Burgers up here, right on the
steak burger,
right on the interstate. The junction here, 180, what is it? No, it's 35 and 620. We got a Freddy's right there.
You know, I think if I want to go chase a good burger, I'm not going to go chain. I know Freddy's is chain. Folks are going to
see. I've eaten Hop Dotties. I'm not Hop Dotties and Shake Shack, Rodney. I'm not really on Hop Dotties and Shake Shack either.
No, I agree. I mean, Kirby Lane. I mean, those kind of places that you can find that stuff. What was the one right there behind Capitol, or right on the way to Capitol Plaza? God bless America. Now
Capitol Plaza.
Yeah, it's somebody's going to have to tell me it. Top Notch. Thank you. Top Notch is that's not the one I'm thinking about. But Top Notch, dude, that is.
We got a Top Notch when we first got here. One of the first weeks that we got here. And I always forget about it. For some reason, I always forget about Top Notch, but it's one of the best damn tasting burgers I've had. Mm-hmm. I see they're so few and far between now. I think they got one right by Round Rock High School. I think that's the last Top Notch.
Well, that's shortstop. Dude, shortstop. That their chili dogs too are really good. Yeah, that shortstop is like right here by my crib, and it's like every now and then, kind of the guilty pleasure right there. Now with 620, all fancy and
yeah,
kind of sneak in and go get it.
Hey, I ain't been there since they did the whole rework of the overpass and whatnot.
It's a lot. The good thing is now you got a smooth entry into Bush's Chicken as well, which was all jacked up, but that's fried chicken discussion. Coda text line 254. Who won the gift card? The 254. Yes, that's you. Send us your name right there, and we will get that to you. So the 254 asking who won, that is you, I believe. Yeah, that is you. That is you.
Speaking of dinner, we're getting on the burger comment or getting on the food comment. What did you guys have? What did you guys do for dinner? Mother's Day dinner? Anything crazy?
No, dinner was easy. They were the guys were having the pizza discussion, so everything was low key. So we actually hit another little spot right there by the shortstop, Nikki's Pizza and whatever it's called. A couple of large slices of thin pepperoni pizza, little pasta. All this stuff. That's what we did. Just keeping it real nice and comfortable. So where did you guys go?
I know that you guys got some pasta neck last night.
Got some pizza. So where'd you guys go? I know that you
I went and picked up food from Rudy's and brought it.
Said Rudy. That's right.
And then of course we made breakfast yesterday too. And then we went, took the dog and went on a walk. We had a really awesome day. Which Top Notch was the Varsity Blues filmed at?
Probably that one on North Lamar. Not only that, I think at Top Notch, it was one of the, I don't know if it was there was another movie also that was filmed right there at Top Notch. And it's like one of the
CB, CB, it's all fallen off since you left, bud. It really has.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all fallen off. Where was it, Rodney? Sorry, I got carried away.
I think it's the one on North Lamar. What other movie? What's the one with McConaughey?
Mahogany.
Dazed and Confused was also filmed right there at, thank you, Scott, you got it as well. Yeah, Dazed and Confused, one of the great scenes in there was right there on the North Lamar location at Top Notch.
I always wonder where they do their, where they did the filming from everything, man. Of course, I can't remember who created Dazed and Confused, man. Begins with an L. I'm pretty sure it begins with an L. Dude's from Austin. I just can't remember the last name. Anyways, yeah, I got to go check out all these damn burger stands, man. I would say, but anyways, getting back to the original discussion to close this burger conversation off, I would say that I'd probably go with Dan's. Outside of Hay City Store, Dan's is probably the number one solidified burger joint for me. I'd love to see all your other, all your other candidates and all the other best, burger joints. Please put them in the YouTube chat here so I can have, notes and great places to go for more food. So thank you.
I got to tell you what, one of the ones, and again, this sounds kind of cheesy, and of course, you can always add cheese to your burgers. One that kind of flies under the radar to me, and again, I just said that I don't prefer the chains, but if you can find a Chili's, go get you one of those old timers and with fries and some chips and salsa. Dude, that's good shit. That's good shit.
Chili's baby back. I want my baby back, baby back.
Baby, baby back.
Nah, man. You know what? I've never been to a Chili's. I've never been to a Chili's before in my life. Ever. Yeah.
It's all right. They've kind of fallen off the map a little bit right there as others have taken over. I think like here in Austin, folks are all into P. Terry's and the Five Guys and all of that. But still, man, go find you a local spot. The Waterloo. If you can find you a Waterloo, I think there's one there on the way to the old radio station off of 360. I think there's still one there. Go get you a Waterloo Ice House burger with Tater Gems. Good shit, man. Good shit.
You watching the UFL at all?
Every now and then. Dude, I flipped it on yesterday before the NASCAR race. I had to do a couple of NASCAR interviews before I got back. And I turned one game on, and some dude got hit solidly in the helmet. And the quarterback falls over, and they go to the booth or whatever. And it's like, after further review, the play stands as called. I'm like, damn, these guys really are playing football for real.
It hasn't been that bad a play. Quarterback plays down, of course. It's not, and I would argue, of course, anybody would argue, you know, you basically, the league goes as fast as the play of the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Or the league is only good as the play of the quarterback. But I would argue that it's not just such down quarterback play, it's some pretty decent defense. Look, I think what Birmingham's the only undefeated team that's in here. But I saw the Michigan Panthers as well, man, and they got a pretty damn good defense too, dude. So I don't know if people have been watching a little bit of the UFL, but it's football, man.
It's not bad.
It's football. So I got a chance to watch a little bit of it. You know, I watched it in the, you know, week two and week three, and then kind of let it go wayside there. I had some other stuff come up. And then, of course, you know, playoffs and for hockey and basketball start. But, you know, I tuned into a little bit. I got to catch a little bit of it this weekend. It's football, guys. It's not football. Bad. Not bad football, but it's football. That's the only way I can pretty much describe. It's slow. You can definitely tell there's just a slower pace.
Yeah.
Like the plays develop a lot slower, but it's fun to watch some of the, some of the names that you forgot about in college. And, you know, oh, that's where this guy ended up. Okay. I thought he was in the CFL. No, he's in the UFL. So,
yeah. I think it would be a bigger rage, honestly, Wags, if we didn't have all the hockey playoffs and NBA and all of that. And like yesterday.
But where are you going to fit it in? That's the thing. Like, where are you going to, you can't put this thing during the regular season, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't do it during the week. I mean, because the whole thing is all that shit's going on during the week also. So there's not really a place for it to fall into place. So, but, you know, I mean, and the thing is, you know, we've got a Dallas team. We got a team in San Antonio. I think the Brahmas are actually pretty good. So playing in the Alamo Dome. So you know, I don't know if it's more. I'm sure it's a hell of a lot more.
Yeah, San Antonio is tied for second in their division.
Yeah, yeah. San Antonio is really good. And again, you know, with San Antonio, they have the Spurs. That's a Spurs town, and we can sit here and talk about the different conspiracies where San Antonio will never allow Major League Baseball or NFL, or the Spurs won't. But those UFLs and all that
I don't know why that is.
Of
course, you know, I'm not from here. Is that something that goes back a long way, or
I think it's
more that I'm unaware of.
It's one of those situations like we talk about here in Austin where, you know, even though we have some pro franchises in here, we don't have, you know, NFL, MLB, NBA, any of that. And a lot of folks will say, well, that's because it's a Longhorn controlled market. And that's kind of the thing there with the Spurs, where it's like the Spurs have controlled that market for so long. Yeah, the missions and whatever you have there with minor league baseball. But I mean, I seriously thought in 2009, when the Saints needed a place to play, you know, with Katrina, when they came to San Antonio, the San Antonio Saints would have been a home fucking run. But, you know, it goes back to where Jerry Jones and all of that, they're not going to allow that. But they embrace that stuff. I mean, the San Antonio folks really embrace those spring leagues and so forth. Right quick, Gabe, yes, fried chicken and Lockhart never, ever going to be the same after Mr. Dobbs. Mr. and Mrs. Dobbs, the best chicken, those fries, going into that little small spot in there, you walked out and you smell like chicken all day. Dobbs, shit was so good. So good. Fried chicken talk.
The one thing that kind of, you know, lit my eye up and I kind of forgot all about the dude was A.J. McCarron. Like, you remember, Like, I feel like the UFL will be a really good place for product of the system quarterbacks, not Heisman ready quarterbacks, but like quarterbacks that kind of rode the coattails of a strong program, of a really strong program, like a McCarron, right? Like, didn't really carve it up or dominate it in the collegiate level, but had all the pieces around them to shine and be able to be a quarterback on the top team.
Mm-hmm.
They get their chance to, I guess, basically lead a league in a watered down professional football type setting, right? Like in a league where you don't think AJ McCarron's going to actually shine. This is a league where a quarterback like AJ McCarron can get to. When I first saw that AJ McCarron was one of the best quarterbacks in the, or when I was reminded that AJ McCarron is one of the best quarterbacks in the the UFL here, it reminded me of the status of one Carson Beck, or the potential of one Carson Beck.
Yeah.
I don't think Carson Beck does that much to wow my eyes in terms of quarterback play at the collegiate level. I feel like he's in a program of Kirby Smart, right? Like, basically, I feel like all he has to do is just turn the ball around and hand the ball off. Now, I don't have Beck's stats from 2023, but I'm sure that, you know, he found Bowers quite a few times before Bowers went down, and they were able to get things rekindled when Bowers got healthy. And I'm sure there was more of a passing attack from Georgia. It's just not, you know, coming to surface of my mind at the moment. But still, I feel like Carson Beck is another quarterback that you could end up seeing in the UFL in a few years or whatever. Maybe he's not a NFL ready quarterback. And also, which brings me to point, I feel like there was a few quarterbacks that got drafted this year that are probably going to wind up in the UFL.
Yeah. And I think if anything, it's a good landing spot to let you continue in the game.
Sure.
And,
100%, man. 100%. Yeah. Extend your career. Absolutely.
Yeah. AJ McCarron's brother, Rusty, is a buddy of mine. They're heavily involved in stock car racing down in the Mobile, Pensacola, all the Southeast corridor right there. So Rusty and I actually communicate a lot, doing different stuff with their racing team. And I've asked him repeatedly, Wags, about AJ, and he's like, man, AJ, he's like, he enjoys the game again. You know, he gets to spend time with his family.
To CB's point right there, Rodney. To CB's point, he didn't want to be a backup. He wanted to actually go play ball. He wanted to go spin it, man. And he's one of the best in the league.
Yep. And that's one of the things that Rusty's talked about is, like, you know, AJ, he's not locked into an 18-game season. And he's not having to do all this. It's a very short season.
Yeah, what is it? Like, is it 10 weeks?
Like 8 to 10 weeks, I think. And then he's into the playoffs. And it's like, it's not the magnitude of the NFL. And he's got a great nest egg with the company, the family company that they have. And at the same time, he gets to supplement and gets to enjoy the game that he fucking loves. So it's like, boom. I mean, that's great. I mean, nobody's going to complain about that. And like you said, I think for the fans, the game is good. The game is good. It's not the NFL, but it's watch-worthy.
So, Rob, here's the thing. Like, that'd be a fantastic idea too, right? But how many snaps are you taking away from, the rest of the quarterbacks that's in this league, that's in the UFL. Now, if you want to use this as kind of like a transit league or a taxi league, like, I'm all about that, right? Like, if you want to keep this as kind of like what the, what soccer does. This is a weird, wild-ass analogy, and forgive me. Try and keep up with my mind here. But what if you use this as kind of like a relegation system? Of course, you're not relegating teams to go down into the UFL. That's not what I'm saying. But
right.
Instead of, quarterbacks that are, out of the game or touring, so to speak, if they're not up for it, if they're not playing in decent NFL quarterback caliber, put them down here. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let them develop their skills or make this more like the G League. I feel like that's kind of what this was prototyped to be anyways, was, the NFL trying to find their minor league system that actually works here in America instead of going and playing NFL Europe with the Rhine Gala or with the Rhine Fire and who would the Cologne Centurions? I can't remember the old school names. I think it was the Centurions for Cologne. I'm pretty sure, man. But my memory's failing. But yeah, man. I'm with Rob. I think that's a great idea. I just don't know how that would work out fiscally and financially. It's a good idea.
And I do agree that I know a lot of folks will argue that college football is kind of the feeder system. Well, it is to supply players. But like you're talking about, right, in the sense when you get there, and you're not living,
how do you
up
maintain?
Right. And that's where, you know, we can take a situation like with the UFL to where, I mean, look on the baseball side, like with Jose Abreu, what the Astros just did. They sent his ass down and they're like, go get better. You know, if you could figure out something for football, because and football is so, I mean, the intensity, that just everything that happens right there. And it is a culture shock because there's no in between. Like with baseball, yeah, you'll go into double A, you go into triple A, you learn the professional game. Not with this. You get drafted and boom, go. Yeah. And if you fall on your face, it's like, well, now what? And what's that do to your mind? Wags, we talk about the mind all the time. When you don't hit your expectations.
Yeah, sports psychology is for real, man. It truly is.
Absolutely. Looks like Des Brooks from Leander is the winner there of the $50 Cabo Bob's gift certificate. So we've got the info right there. So we will get that hooked up to you. Also on that Coda text line, 222-9328, which you guys on the app can check in. Or if you're watching and want to do it that way as well. A mention there for Gil's Fried Chicken in San Marcos. It's been a lot of time.
I've never had it. Well.
It's gone.
I'm sorry. I apologize. Gone. Don't drag me under the table here. I haven't had Gus's either.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I haven't had Gus's chicken either.
Yeah.
There's Craig used to get on me about that all the time. You've never had Gus's chicken? I'm like, no. Never had that either. There's so much good food around here. I'm glad we actually had that conversation because now I'm starving. I'm probably gonna order. Actually, I'm gonna call Ike up. I'm gonna call my guy Ike up.
Not that I got this. I actually got this, like I pulled up a while ago. This is from my in-laws for my birthday. And they loaded this thing up and they're like, here, use this. Be happy. Thank you.
If you're going to spew into this. Remember like that shit?
Yeah.
Wayne's World, said, man. Hey, we had to
be a fat ass. Do it on us.
What'd you got?
I said, they pretty much told me, if you're going to be a fat ass, let us help you.
Well, I'm going to call Ike up so I can see if I can get myself a possible here from Domino's. Hey, we had some basketball. We had some hockey. We had some great playoff sports over the weekend. What was some of your most impressive things you took from this weekend? Rodney, I missed my futures bet by one.
Yeah.
I hit my Mavs game, and I missed on the series. The Birds failed to take the matinee game, the Sunday game. They lost 9-2. To the Snakes, but hell, they look pretty damn good out of two of the three in Camden Yards, and Birds are one of the best in the business. We'll get to baseball in a little bit here, but yeah, what was your takeaway from this weekend, Rodney?
Pretty much what I knew what was going to happen. You know, we had not only we, or I don't know if we actually did.
The royal was, we.
Yeah, it was like Katie bar the door. The Nuggies are done. No.
What'd you just say? Could you just say Katie bar the door?
Katie bar the door. You like that? Katie bar the door.
I can't remember where I heard that thing. Might have been a video game.
That may have been either like on wrestling or something. I don't exactly know where that may have come from. It's like in racing. It's like every now and then I'm calling a race and I'm like, we got a Donnybrook. And they're like, what is that? I'm like, it's a fucking good race is what it is. By the way, another great NASCAR finish yesterday.
Yeah.
Anyway.
You can talk about that for a minute if you want. I don't care.
Yeah, we'll get to that later.
Part of your
Nuggets are not done. Here come the Nuggets, man. Now we got
roaring back,
emphatically roaring back. The Nuggets looking like they should look. And I don't know, man. I'm finally glad now it looks like as we sit here on Monday, May the 13th, that these series are where we expected them to be. And the good thing is, what I like about that is that they were kind of giving us hope that we were going to be wrong about what we thought these series were going to be, Wags. But shit. Ain't a bad one. Well, maybe Cleveland and Boston, even though Boston is back. But, let me ask you about Jason Tatum. I know the other day after Boston got steamrolled.
Can we talk about the other matchups before we get into Tatum?
Yeah.
We can go ahead. Ask me about Tatum. Go ahead.
No, about Tatum. So after Boston gets beat, a lot of folks are like, Jason Tatum doesn't seem to have the heart. Jason Tatum, because he's like,
I think that's just his character, right? Just kind of laissez-faire, don't stress out too much about it. I mean, that's just kind of, he's just really not a high strung type of dude. I feel like he's always kind of been a low key, a low vibe type of dude, right? He's not really high strung. I feel like when you're talking about the emotional vocal leader of that group, I think it's Brown. Like, Brown's the vocal dude of that trio. Or at least that's how I feel from it. And honestly, like, I don't really, when you look at the core of Boston, and it's kind of unique to their identity. I think they're all kind of quiet. Like, there's not really a vocal, scene stealer or somebody that's going to be, you know, striking out all the tabloids or all the mm-hmm. headlines or whatnot. They don't say anything wrong. Like, they do their job. They show up, they do their job, or they underperform. They don't go out there and talk and chop, you know, run their chopsticks all the time. And they go out there and they either hit you in the mouth or they try and right the ship. That's one thing I do love about Boston is they don't really talk that much, man. They show up and play ball. And of course, like, regardless of how you feel about Tatum, if he's been underperforming in postseason play or whatnot, at least the guy's not out there just running his suck like most people do. That's one thing I'll never get down on Boston for is the fact that they don't have all the talkers that were on the team are gone. I feel like they don't run their mouth; they just play ball.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things with Tatum to where it's kind of the whole just what we've talked about, Wags, with Boston, where it's like, you know, they are so good, but then when they come down to earth, they like come way down to earth. And I think it's one of those things, the tendencies of that team. I think that maybe he just hasn't had that moment yet where he does something, which I understand it because either they're blowing somebody out or getting destroyed. He hasn't had that game-winning moment, or he hadn't had that aggressive moment or anything. And he is. He's just, like, way laid back. He doesn't bitch about anything. He's just a basketball player. I mean, I see the comments here about being overrated and so forth, but I think it's
just, I don't think Tatum's over, like, him. Yeah. I don't think he's over. I think his offense is on point. I think his offense is there. I think he meets the criteria. I think they take – the thing with Boston is they just take plays off when we've talked about this from time to time, right? That's like it. They just go in spurts to where they can't fill it up or they can't get a basket. Maybe 3 to 4 minute stretches where they can't get a basket, which you can't be doing it. Like if you're considering yourself the number one team in your conference, right? You can't be going on scoring droughts for like 5 minutes. You just can't, especially in the playoffs. When now maybe you might be able to get away with it a little bit in the East. You might. But when you go up, we talked about the situation, the hypothetical situation, when you get to a grinder team like New York, right? They'll take advantage of that vulnerability, man. But yeah, I saw Rob. I can't see the comment now, but Rob made a comment about Boston going on cruise control. They absolutely do. Like they find themselves going in cruise control from time to time, and that's when they start going on these lulls, right? If you're asking me if Tatum can take over, if you give him the ball and he's ball dominant and you want him to have the last shot, do I think he's got that potential? 100%, absolutely. I think he's a phenomenal player. I just don't think he rises to the moment when he needs to. Like, if he wants to be a legitimate superstar, he needs to say, hey, look, all eyes on me. You don't need to talk your talk, but, I mean, go out there and hell, when it's time for the last shot, get the ball in your possession, make the last shot.
Yeah,
I mean, right now I don't know the identity between who the superstar is because it feels like Brown and Tatum kind of share the load, and then all of a sudden, like when they're quiet, White just comes on the scene and starts lighting it up. Like Boston's crazy talented; they're absolutely crazy. And then you want to talk about their defense too. You got Drew Holiday on their defense. Like, what are you gonna do with this team's loaded? It's absolutely loaded.
And I think a lot of that kind of to your point right there is what's adding, like stoking this whole conversation, was after the loss the other night where he said, we're not a super team. We didn't have the coach of the year. We didn't have the player of the year. He's talking about the kind of the snub with the all-stars and all that.
So yeah, but you got a solid core nucleus of superstars and all-stars, I would say. Maybe not all-stars, but you got some talented pieces, man. Al Horford is one of your veteran tough players. I wouldn't say he's a tough guy, but I mean, the dude's a bucket. Yeah. Like the dude can hit from the perimeter. I wouldn't say that his 3-point shooting's it has been in the past here, but still he's able to step outside on the perimeter and hit a knockdown bucket if he needs to.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the whole thing. And we're with the comments there from him after that loss, they're using that as fire, I would think. I mean, you put that chip on your shoulder. We're not a super team, whatever, all-stars, all this other shit. But it still goes back to what you just mentioned, it, Wags, is like, dude, they just the ebb and flow of this team. And it's like when they're off, my God, I mean, that's concerning. And like you talk about, now that we have kind of going to the other series, now that we've got Indiana and the Knicks, I mean, now that's a series again. And are the Knicks wearing out? I mean, they're just so battle tested and beat up. I said MASH unit the other day, and here come the Pacers. So I don't know, man. Boston's got the best team in the league.
Out of all the teams in the NBA, Boston still has the best differential with 11.4.
That's right. Yeah.
And I mean, hell, the next best team underneath of them is Oklahoma, and that's 7.4. So again, like, you can't deny how good of a team Boston is. Now, look, man, again, I go to scoring differential a good amount of times. Mm-hmm. But still, you know, basketball's a game of stars. Like, you can have all the scoring differential and you play solid core team defense. But at the end of the night, the stars are going to rise up. It's going to come down to your three stars. It just really will, man. The nucleus is fantastic, but the stars will prevail. It's basketball. It always happens. It always happens.
That's the way it works. That's exactly the way it works. That's how when we talk about these teams, it's like, who's the third? You know, with some of these teams like Phoenix and all this with the, well, then they've got a big three, but what the hell are they doing with that? But they're not in the playoffs. Who cares about that?
I mean, dude, we went into this weekend not knowing if Denver would be able to right the ship or not and get things back square. Denver goes on the road just when everybody counted them out. Minnesota's just so damn deep. Yours truly here. You know, I wasn't given the knee jerk overreaction of sweep, sweep, sweep like I usually do, right?
Yeah.
It felt like true potential that it could happen, but you just felt like Denver would find something to exploit and make Minnesota feel vulnerable at, right? Mm-hmm. That exploit was just Nikola Jokic. Like, he is going up against three stalwarts in Minnesota and still prevailing. Now, it's not all Joker, because it's a fantastic team play with Denver as well. Denver goes out on the road. We thought that they would be written off, and they come back after this weekend, tie this bad boy up, and now we got a brand new series. It's 2-2.
Got a brand new series. They go on the road to
Minnesota
and take care of business right there. And that, you know, I think I said it on Friday, to where hopefully coming out of the weekend that we were going to see where Joker, you know, let's not get in the MVP thing, but I think I did say that, to where it's like, okay, regular season MVP, your MVP time right here. And it seems like that's what we got. In all of the series, I mean, with Knicks Pacers, I mean, with the Mavericks, I mean, the Mavericks, dude, this is shit's about to get really real. And we get to do it again tonight, man. It's a good weekend of basketball. And I'm not surprised that this happened.
Well, no, I'm not. I mean,
stunned you with this?
What's that?
Was there anything that through the weekend in the NBA with all of these becoming?
Probably Aaron Gordon having the game that he did last night. That was kind of shocking. Like, usually when you think of the two dudes that are going to go off for Denver, it's Murray and it's Jokic. Gordon, you know, showing he's no spring chicken anymore either, man. He's got some veteran miles on those legs. But, you know, the night that he had last night, you know, contributing 27, and wasn't just the fact that he had 27 points. I mean, he was busy getting the team active too. 8 assists as well. I mean, the guy, 6 assists and 7 boards. So Gordon, I thought Gordon, you know, anybody that watched the damn game last night showed up that or knew that Gordon just seemed like he was feeling it and had him almost every sequence down the floor. It felt like he had a mismatch. If Gordon can play like this and you get more complimentary play, this is the complimentary play that you're supposed to get from Aaron Gordon. He's not supposed to be headlining doing what Jamal Murray does, right? But if you're getting this type of play out of that, and then Murray, you know, contributes almost 20 points too, that's the formula, man. That's how you're going to beat Minnesota, dude. I didn't know how they were going to be able to beat Minnesota, because I thought Minnesota had just already figured it out and unlocked, you know, Denver's Pandora's box. Is that even a thing? Denver's Pandora box. God, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. But anyways, they just weren't able to get it. They weren't able to figure it out when they had them at home. And hell, Denver was able to right the ship. This is probably my NBA finals here. I know I just sat there and said that Boston's one of the best teams. Boston's got the best scoring differential, but we kind of sleep on Boston because they're in the East. I don't know how that is going to pan out when it gets to the finals, because if all this, you know, comes to fruition, Roddy, and we're sitting here talking about how easy of a path Boston has to get to the finals, there's a damn good chance that they could be the dominant team when they get to the finals because of all this battle-hardened and torn down teams from the West. So
from the West, yeah,
that's right. What I think is going to happen.
Yeah, these guys are at battle, you know, each and every time they head to the court. And talking about role players, I mean, look at Dallas. I mean,
look at that. Yeah, I was going to say, look at what's going on with Dallas, man.
Yeah, with PJ Washington, we were talking about Timmy Hardaway on Friday out at Lost Pines. And it's like, I mean, Dallas is utilizing those role players to fit in, you know, with Luka and Kyrie. And now they're in control of the series, you know.
You get a little bit of play like that. You don't need Washington to be, you know, going off and headlining, right?
Exactly.
And shooting, you know, 30 points a game. You don't need that every night, but you need like 15 to 20 from Wash.
Contribute. Yeah.
Yeah. You need a little bit of contribution, right? You need 15 to 20 from Wash. And then, hell, if Timmy can show up like that again, he don't need to dominate the third and go off and run off with 10 straight points. But if Timmy can contribute, be somewhat of lockdown on defense, work the perimeter, work the opposition, make SGA just, or hell, it'll be Dort, make a few of these guys just feel a little bit crowded and get their shots off, get them out of rhythm. There's a damn good chance that Dallas not only beats, not only beats Oklahoma, but also goes on to get to the finals. I think they have a chance to get past either Minnesota or Denver. Dallas looks pretty damn good, man. Again, I don't think they're the strongest team in the West, but they're playing together pretty damn well.
Well, and that's exactly the point right there. They're not the best. No, but they are. I mean, you watch them with what they're doing. Yeah.
Jake, we're trying to be good. We're trying to be nice to Tim, man.
Yeah.
It's been... And I'm not trying to beat up on Tim too bad, but I mean, I can't even really think the last time he actually had a productive offensive game.
It wasn't this month.
It had to be like last month.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I saw Timmy going on a run like that, or be that much of a contributor, man. But yeah, if that happens, my goodness, man.
You can't
Kyrie playing off ball defense and getting steals off ball like that. Yeah, this is a fun team to watch.
Yeah, this is a fun team to watch, and this is going to be a fun series to watch right here, because this is going seven. Because I don't see anybody really taking the drastic lead in this series. It's gonna this is grinded out basketball right here. What we got with Dallas and OKC. Wags, right quick before we go any further, got to tell you about our great friends at Covert Bee Cave. Maybe you went and got your I know, really damn quick. It was that food segment we did at the beginning.
Yeah, we must have spent like 15 minutes talking about food.
Yeah, something like that. How about a word from our friends at Covert Bee Cave?
Hi, I'm Dan Covert with my wife, Hayden. Welcome to Covert Bee Cave.
Our newest location in the gorgeous Hill Country includes Buick, GMC, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and hundreds of pre-owned and certified vehicles for you to choose from. We have 3 service departments that are ready to take care of your car, truck, or SUV with 86 service bays to accommodate any repair and get you in and out quickly. Come visit us today to select the vehicle you've been dreaming about.
Covert, born and raised in Austin.
Yeah, they are. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever.
Yeah, Rob wants the Pacers and Knicks to go to 7. That series is knotted back up at 2-2. I don't know how the Pacers are still able to do it. Because when you think about the Pacers, you really don't think that Halliburton can kind of put his team on the back and kind of carve down Thibodeau's defense. again, like this is, I thought that they would be done against Milwaukee. But Milwaukee with the injuries that they sustained, you know, Pacers being able to keep it alive, and
yeah,
who knows, man, maybe the Pacers can push this to seven. I do think the Knicks emerge victorious out of this series. I thought, you know, me sitting here, you know, when before this thing actually started kicking off, the second round started kicking off, I'm sitting here calling a gentleman sweep by the Knicks. And sure enough, now we have a 2-2 game, so or a 2-2 series. If this does happen to where they go seven, look for the Celtics like Rob is actually pieing for here and lobbying for here. If this actually does go to seven for Pacers and Knicks, there's a damn good chance that Boston could steamroll. Again, I'm getting the, you know, cart ahead of the horse right now, but if you're kind of playing the futures thing, if you're looking for futures bets and you're seeing how all this is shaping up, if they push to seven, there's a good chance that Celtics only need five to get through it just because of how dead the legs are. I talk about dead legs in hockey, dead legs still happen in basketball too.
Yeah, I think that's the whole thing. And I think where are the Pacers?
I mean, he's like, Luka goes down the floor every damn time and gets hit. Like, he is getting hit. Every Dort is making him know that he's there. He's just, it's an annoying basketball method. That's all it is. Like, he's not even really trying to foul or stop Luka. He's just trying to get in the psyche of Luka right now. He's doing a pretty damn good job. Oh, Luka's still Luka.
Sure, but I think where the Pacers are fortunate is like I mentioned a while ago. I mean, New York is beat up. I mean, these guys are hanging on right here. And that's why I thought that this series would even up at some point, because it was going to be something, you know, Brunson, now with Brunson, you know, beat up as well. It was going to be something there to where they were eventually going to wear these guys down.
Grittier team, Rodney? Is it Indiana or is it New York?
I think it's New York, to be honest with you. I know watching what the Pacers are doing right here, but you got to look at that. I'll say it again. It's a mash unit with the Knicks. I mean, you've got guys that are missing. Robbins, he's out. I mean, they're missing so many parts and pieces, and yet they started out. But I think right now, dude, it's like a rubber band. You stretch that thing out and stretch and stretch, and eventually it shrivels up. I think that's what's happening to the Knicks. And I do agree with you that Indiana, we can say they're gritty. Man, if they get into the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston, it's going to be Boston will have that one game like they had against Cleveland. But Boston is on a really good path right now.
All right, we got some action tonight as well, my guy. Oh, we also had some hockey. Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about some
hockey? Yeah, hit hockey, Wags, because we're shit, man.
We had some hockey. Boston finds themselves in, I would say, panic mode. Well, hell, let's ask Rob. Like, Rob, are you guys in panic mode? Down 3-1 here. You could argue that you guys have been underperforming the past couple of years in the playoffs. No Marchand. This is as daunting as it gets for Boston, right? I mean, yeah. Jesus. Come on, man. Don't sell yourself. It's panic mode, but hell, you only need one, right? Look, but the problem is you're going up against one of the best net miners in hockey too. Bobrovsky's pretty damn solid. I don't know what it's going to take for your boys for the bees to get past Florida here. But look, when you're in a hole like 3-1 here, man, it's going to be tough sledding, that's for sure. But if there's a team that can do it, it's Boston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, Wags? Rangers Blue Shirts finish this shit off tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Carolina able to finally, you know, get on the stat book in terms of getting special team, you know, finally scoring on special teams. Thankfully, right? I mean, it just felt like that was one hell of a daunting task for those bunch of jerks down there at Carolina. I still think it's too little too late. There's something wrong with Anderson. Like, Anderson's not tracking the puck right. Like, he's been off this entire series, which is weird because he's one of the best goalies in the NHL, or he was one of the best goalies in the NHL. Aho, again, it's you know, they're just not being able to put the puck in the back of the net on special teams too, which is it's kind of daunting. They struggled last year too. I think they got Carolina got swept last year, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure. Can't remember who they played, but I'm pretty sure that they were swept last season.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, so And I can't really figure it out to why they're playing such bad. I mean, they're playing really close. I mean, hell, anybody that's watching, it's gone in the, you know, the overtime a few games now here. They're just not being able to get the loose or somehow in inopportune times, the puck skating over there or flying over their stick. It's just really unlucky hockey at the moment, or unfortunate hockey at the moment. And, you know, the Blue Shirts are capitalizing on anything that they can get. They've gotten shorthanded goals in the series too. And again, when you're not going to score on special teams, the opposition is usually going to win. So if you're not scoring when you got the man advantage, there's a lot of times where you're not going to come out, you know, the victors of that night.
That's a whole thing. When you get into that man advantage, if you're not able to take
advantage. Panthers swept them. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate you.
If you can't take advantage of that, I mean, that's no. Dallas, I mean, here's the Stars. I mean, yeah, they're tonight. Yeah, against the Avalanche. So I tell you, man, the Dallas, again, a great night to be a sports fan in Dallas, as your teams have become resurgent and sitting in really, really good spots. So, let's check the Stars tonight. Again, the goaltender play that we're watching from Dallas has just been, that's a playoff goalie right there. That dude seems to rise when it's time. But
Come on, Ott. You got him, Ott.
That's a man right there, Ottinger. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. We'll see how that all shakes out tonight. Busy night.
Puck drops on ESPN at 8:30. Make sure you're supporting your Stars as they are on the road to take on McKinnon and Company, in Colorado. Hey, before we get out of here, make sure you guys hit up Audiovisual Consultations if you're watching hockey or baseball or basketball, man. It's all deadly. If you want to get the UFL in as well, man, you got to get it done with Audiovisual Consultations, 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com. Been setting the standard in audiovisual automation for the past 35 years. You guys know this. They're in the Austin, Central Texas area, but they do work all over Texas. Just give them a call, 512-255-8678. That's avconsultations.com.
Hey, Wags, Wednesday, the NFL schedule drops, and I think we found out this morning that it's going to be Ravens at Chiefs to start it off on Thursday, September 5th.
How about Xavier Worthy going up against the Ravens his first year out of the – or first game out of the season, huh? First game of your career, and you're going up against the Baltimore Ravens defense. What's that do for you, Rodney?
Prime time for him right there. It's a big time to step up and shine, and odds are –
you know who's got Xavier Worthy in both of their draft – both of the dynasty seasons?
And he's going to be the dude, because I don't know if Rashee Rice is going to be playing that day, dude. I mean, I'm not laughing at
I don't that. Think Rashee Rice just, is going to be playing for the first part of the
not going to be playing
season.
For
he might not even play. He might not even, when it's all said and done with, he might not even play this season.
Yeah. That's the whole thing right there. But CB, there is going to be a game in Brazil. Brasil. I'm actually doing some work now with Nascar Brasil.
Hey, all you pickleball players, you guys saw those shorts that BK and Bucky brought up, right? That's not the attire that you need from Pick Sports Gear. What you need to do is go to their website right now. If you're ready to gear up with all the design gear that's right here in Austin, look no further than Pick Sports Gear. Their equipment's crafted with precision by professionals with passion right here in the heart of the city known for its love and innovation. Right here in Austin, Central Texas. From top-of-the-line paddles to premium accessories, you can't go wrong with Pick Sports Gear. You look on their website for the demo days that are happening right around the corner. If you need to get out there, get out and about on this beautiful weather. The weather's turning, man, and it's getting great in Austin. Get out there and socialize. Come find me. Hell, maybe I'll have a betting scenario for you, or if I fall on my ass, I'll wear those damn those padded shorts or whatever, but nothing's as good as the stuff that you get from Pick Sports Gear. That's PIXSportsGear.com. PickSportsGear.com.
Absolutely. Hey, right quick, Jake called it. That's right. Eagles and Packers, I think, is that game that we're talking about in Brazil. They may go missing. Fine. Bye. Both of them. Eagles, yes.
You know what? I'm all right with the Packers, but if the Eagles franchise were to just kind of fall off the wayside,
I'm good with the Packers.
Somewhere, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely, I don't mind the all right. Packers. I'll subscribe to that.
They all right. Check out
what else you got going on today, Double R. What's up?
Oh man, today's catch up day, man. By the way, I see that on the Coda text line, somebody is reaching out about their the Yo Mama joke on Friday. That was the winner. I think it was Yo Mama is so dumb she thought a quarterback was a refund.
All right,
that's pretty good.
Let's get off of Mama's because I just got off of yours.
Let me get you a good
one. That's from White Men Can't Jump, brother.
Yeah,
I take all my shit. I get all my shit from the movies, dude.
Jordan, where the hell are you
get
at
off
now?
Of mom's, because I just get off of yours. And then Wesley Snipes goes, she's out. She's out. What time you want me to bring the bitch back?
You sound like Jerry Reed. You sound like the snowman on Smokey and the Bandit, the way you're reading those out.
I don't know what I sound like. I just know that that's some of the best your mama jokes I've ever found was the original White Man Can't Jump. Not the one with Jack Harlow. The one with, you know, Wesley Snipes and Woody Harrelson, man. And what's her name? God, what's her name?
Oh, the one that says, Billy,
I want to school.
Rosie Perez.
What's her name?
Rosie Perez.
Thank you very much. Billy, I want to school. Come back.
Get your money. All right.
Oh, my God. Jordan, what's up, brother? How are we?
Sensitivity training here, right?
What are you going on, dude? What are you on the road? You're actually working double duty. What's going on here?
Trying to. No,
you can't really work when you're hearing us do Rosie Perez impressions, right?
Yeah.
You know what we're talking
about.
Have you ever seen the original? Have you seen the original White Man Can't Jump?
I have not, and I haven't seen the new one either. I'm not gonna watch.
Don't do yourself a treat and you know, take the rest of the day off and go watch White Man Can't Jump.
Can't do that because I got to drive to Ruston after this show. So, yeah, can't do that. So, today, was Monday. So Stampede, obviously, woke up early in the morning to write that. And then, you know, I think it's fine to say his name. There's a kid who was a 2023 receiver out of Rockwall who some might remember. Texas never offered him. They never recruited him. But his name is Noble Johnson. He ended up signing with Clemson as a 3-star receiver by us. I believe some outlets had him as a 4-star. But me and him, we got tight his sophomore year of high school. And I did a lot of photography and like videography work with him. And he was just in town for the week, and I'm about to be out of town on the road for a week. So we went and got breakfast. And now I'm in the a parking lot for Waffle House and IHOP in Rockwall. So that's where we're doing the show from.
You're in a tough situation. Waffle House and an IHOP.
Yeah, you want to guess where we ate? Yeah, come on. Blue collar, bitch.
Waffle House.
Waffle House, much
better.
I knew you were
a well-educated dude. I knew you were.
Also, like, man, where I'm from in Austin, we don't really have them, right? As y'all know. So, like, the only time I really ate Waffle House is on the road. So, I kind of, every time I'm on the road, I got to hit at least once, you know?
Yeah.
Did you get any good nuggets from your interview, from your conversation?
No, not interviews, really just catching up and, you know, seeing how he's doing and all that. Really interesting. So there's a couple kids across college football, you know, at different programs that I kind of have a similar relationship with or whatnot. But like Clemson is just in a different world compared to the rest of college football. Like the things I hear out of him about like what's going on. Mm-hmm. It's just like
what Dabo's doing or
yeah just like the, because it's like obviously everything that happens in Austin I'm hearing about either the time it happens or later on. In Clemson it's like I don't, you know, I'm not blowing Noble up all the time. We'll talk on the phone every now and then, but like, you know, so like just hearing the stories, it's like wow.
I'm very curious to what Dabo's career or I guess what he's still trying to stand up there at Clemson. If you know, does he have a hold? Does he have a grasp of shit? Do you know that?
Somewhat, yeah. Okay. I think so. I mean, I was just like, you know, for him, he couldn't really give a response to this because, I mean, it's all he's ever known.
Sure.
But like, Clemson is like in the 70s or 60s right now with their scholarship count. They had like 13 or 14 guys leave. And, you know, the scholarship count is 85.
They had 13? Yeah. They got 13 out the door?
Yes, in the portal. Like 13 or 14 of them. I'm pretty sure it was over a dozen. And they didn't add a
portal either, right? Like Dabo didn't get hot on the portal.
He's added, I think, 2 guys in his whole career out of the portal. Yeah. But none this year. So, yeah. And also, like, he didn't go through spring ball because he actually got in a car accident in January and had to get a surgery or whatnot. But he'll be back for fall camp. But yeah. But yeah, the Klubnik's up there. They got a really interesting group of Texas kids.
Do you talk to Klubnik at all?
No, I haven't talked to him in a long time. In high school, we were tight, but like he kind of was always like,
what's going on up in Clemson. Like, I like the mentality of all the players, what the hell Dabo's got them prescribed to or subscribed to, rather.
Past history.
Yeah.
Past history.
It can't all be peaches and cream there for Clemson. And I feel like their window of opportunity is just reducing at the day, so to speak.
Oh yeah. And I mean, they signed for what Clemson kind of is. And with the way they recruit, they signed a pretty good 2024 class. But the thing is, like, Clemson can't pay these dudes. They just can't. Like, they'll sign about at least one 5-star a year, it feels like. And, like, I know in 2023 they signed a cat who they started, I think, at, like, 300-something a year. I don't know the number for every single guy in Texas's 2024 class, but there are probably at least six guys making that in that class alone. Clemson will maybe have one of those guys every other year. What do you say?
What's Dabo's selling point now? Like, what's he using to entice players to come to Clemson?
Past history.
Yeah. I'll tell you, this is what it is. I will never be fired. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not taking any other jobs. Our coaches don't really get fired. When they do, they deserve it. no one really leaves either, right? Yeah. God, 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 winning the parents over.
Yeah, that's it.
That angle plays incredibly well. So there are three things. I don't
in the, to in be the honest, Bible I, and the Bible. One more time, yeah. The Bible.
God, yeah. And some more extra God. Yeah. But no. They also like. Am I wrong? Clemson's like a half decent school, at least, right?
No, you're not wrong. You're absolutely, and they also play. I would argue they play in a watered down ACC. So.
Yeah.
And I think it's tough for them because what's there? Because, you know, we look at, College Station, but College Station has money. So I think that's the difference there. But like when you look at Clemson, it's like, so what? Austin, their shit to entice people, but it's like, yeah.
I mean, I feel like Clemson, you got a pretty good South Carolina vibe, right? But I don't know, like, where do you cut off like the city life, the metropolitan life and the beach life? Like, I feel like there's not even, how far away is the beach from Clemson?
Shit, I couldn't tell you. Well, you gave like me a map of South Carolina and told me to pick. If you gave me a map of South Carolina and told me to, like, yeah, if you told me to locate a single city outside of Myrtle Beach, I couldn't even get close. In Myrtle Beach, I'm just putting exactly somewhere on the coastline.
I'll tell you where Paris Island is at. Yeah. I can find Paris Island in my damn sleep.
Yeah. So. I was in Myrtle Beach last month and I loved it. But I'm fucking old, and I don't want people bothering
me. Hilton Head, South Carolina is the spot, my guys.
Got a big golf tournament coming up there, by the way, this month. Anyway, Jordan, I got to tell you, speaking of the Waffle House right quick. So there's a brand new one in Round Rock, or newer, right off of A.W. Grimes. And so a couple of weeks ago, the wife and I go to a movie in Pflugerville. We come back.
Hey, gents, I got to get out of here, guys. I got to fly. I got a big meeting coming up.